Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you ready for some football? Buffalo Bills style.
Shady's going to score! Shady's going to score! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime! Walk up top to the 33-yard line. The Bills recover. Buffalo recovers. Sack! Brought down by Kyle Williams back at the 15-yard line.
Bring it. This is the pregame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills radio network is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
All right, welcome to Countdown to Kickoff. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today, and we are getting you ready for a 7:30 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills at the Cleveland Browns. With John Murphy, Mark Kelso calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Broadcast Booth. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Today's preseason game is presented by Medai College. Our students are empowered. This game is being played in Cleveland. It is an open-air stadium, thus the weather is worth mentioning. It has been raining a lot of the day, but the rain has stopped, and it was forecast that it would stop, and it is not forecast to begin again until into the game at some point. The chance of thunderstorms increasing to 40% by about 8 o'clock. The temperature will be rising up into the high 70s by kickoff in Cleveland, so it could be something to watch as this one comes. I mean, again, 40% is not, you know, does not mean it's absolutely going to rain, but there's a chance of some weather tonight. That will matter to our man, Sal Capaccio, who's going to be on the sidelines. The weather is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com today. It is time for our pregame huddle with Sal Capaccio, and that is brought to you by M&M You Pull It. Parts needed to pull it together, presented by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts. You pull the parts, you save the money. Good afternoon, Sal. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you, Bulldog?
Fantastic. During a break here in the first hour of game day, Jeremy White stopped by from our morning show here on our Buffalo flagship. He stopped by, pick up his Jay-Z Beyonce tickets, and I walked in the control room while I was there, and he said, "Are you really having a party tonight?" I think it was him, or maybe it was Sneaky Joe, our producer. One of the two of them said, "Are you really having a party tonight?" Because during the first hour of the show, I said I was having a party. And that's how I'm fired up for a preseason game. And I said, yeah, I mean, I told one friend to tell two other friends, and I'm getting a bunch of pizza, and there's beers in the fridge, and I think that equals a party. And no sooner did I walk back into my studio to continue Countdown to Kickoff, there was a text message from another of our Canadian neighbors saying, "Hey, Stickles told me you're having some people over for the game. Is it okay if I come over too?" So I think we're having a party, Sal. It's a preseason party.
Well, as I wrote yesterday, there's a lot of storylines in this game. This is a super intriguing game. And as I ended the article, I said, who says preseason is dull? I mean, this is as good as it gets, I think, for preseason, right? This is as good as, I think, an interest we can have in a game for so many different reasons and storylines. And let's be honest, it's because of both teams and really how they intersect and intertwine those storylines. The return of Tyrod Taylor against his former team. The return of Corey Coleman against his former team. You got Baker Mayfield on one side, Josh Allen on the other. Just those two guys individually are really good stories right now this preseason, but now you put them on the same field and it's nationally televised. I think now we have a nice preseason contest here.
Right. I think this game would have some juice because of Mayfield and Allen alone, even if Tyrod Taylor weren't on the scene. But, of course, Tyrod Taylor is on the scene, and he's the Bills' starting quarterback the past three seasons. And the regime here in Buffalo decided they wanted to do better than that and moved on from him. And I think it's interesting to think about him in the context of this game, Sal, because he was always – I don't know if polarizing is exactly right, but I think it's close. Like, as much as the conversation on Josh Allen is split and you've got fans in divided camps, it's kind of funny. Like, Taylor was the same deal here in Buffalo. You've got people who really, really liked him and wanted to support him and maybe think he even got a raw deal. And then you've got people who couldn't wait to see him ushered out of town. And I don't know. I'm neither of those. Like, those are extremes. I think he was pretty good, and I wanted to be better than pretty good, so I'm glad they moved on from him.
Yeah, I understand that. And what's interesting is I'm kind of curious, and I was, how much fans are interested in Tyrod Taylor versus Baker Mayfield from the Buffalo angle. Like, if you are, you know, watching this game as a Bills fan, are you really interested in Tyrod? Are you more interested in Baker Mayfield? So I put a Twitter poll out, and over 2,000 votes in the past hour, and it is 60% Baker Mayfield, 60-40 over Tyrod Taylor. So 40% are saying, yeah, interested in Tyrod Taylor, but even more are saying they're interested in Baker Mayfield. I think Tyrod becomes a storyline this year for the Cleveland Browns as far as the Buffalo Bills fans are concerned, especially if the Bills struggle at quarterback. If they do not and they get better play on the field, he becomes an afterthought with most Bills fans. But if the Bills struggle at quarterback, we are going to continue to hear people talking about Tyrod Taylor, and maybe rightfully so.
How do you feel about if Taylor performs well? I guess you sort of just alluded to it, because if the Bills get good play and Taylor's good, I guess maybe nobody will really care, because what's the difference? My guys are good and we're fine over here. But do you think it makes the Bills look bad if Taylor can play? Like, if Taylor's better, if he somehow improves, if Josh Gordon eventually gets there and they do decide to sign Dez Bryant or whatever else they've got to work with there, that they have better skill players than Taylor had, maybe especially last year, and he gets off and throws for more yards and just looks different, how bad do you think that makes the Bills look?
It's going to make people, it's going to make him look bad in a lot of people's eyes. I think, though, that for what the Bills were trying to do, what their plan was, I don't know if it ever really matters, right? Because Tyrod Taylor, if he's in a new system, different offensive coordinator, you know, maybe he could have done something with this one. I think it's all part of a puzzle, right? We've seen Tyrod Taylor for 3 years. We kind of know what he was in Buffalo. Sure, I mean, if he suddenly, you know, goes to Cleveland and blows up and does all these things, we're going to be talking about that, and it's going to the national storyline is going to be, I can't believe the Buffalo Bills traded this guy. What were they thinking? First they benched him, and then they traded him. And again, though, Bulldog, a lot of it depends on how the Bills quarterbacks do. You could have Tyrod Taylor could play great in a Cleveland Browns uniform, but if Josh Allen comes out and plays great too, or if Nathan Peterman gets this team to, you know, 6-2 at some point, no one's going to care or really question what they did.
Yeah, I that's right. And it also should be said that I think it's pretty unlikely that Taylor is much different than he's been. He's played a lot of games as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and I think by the time you're this far into your professional career, you've got a pretty good idea of who a guy is, you know? So I would expect Taylor to pretty much be the same, even if some of the skill stuff is improved.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things that was talked about with Taylor coming here is the improved skill position. Well, that's not look at a group that he's going to be around. It's not looking so much like that right now.
Right.
First of all, Josh Gordon has not even come to this team. They can't count on Josh Gordon here in Cleveland. If he's going to be a part of them, that's great. I mean, how far behind is he? What does he have to do to catch up? And will he ever actually even play? They can't count him for that. They jettisoned Corey Coleman to Buffalo, obviously. Those were penciled in back in the spring, wide receiver one and wide receiver two with the Cleveland Browns. They are no longer on the team. I guess you'd say Jarvis Landry, after he was traded, he would be wide receiver one or two, depending on, yeah, you know, with Gordon. They still have Landry. He is a stud. He's a really good player. Higgins looked real good yet last week when he was out there. And Njoku can catch the ball. But I'll be honest with you. I would put the Bills group that had Sammy and Robert Woods and Percy Harvin against the group they have now in Cleveland. And mm-hmm. I think Tyrod Taylor probably had a better group of Charles Clay. I mean, I think Tyrod had better skill position players then than he probably does now. LeSean McCoy even,
yep,
on that. Now, if you get all those guys healthy, if Josh Gordon comes back and he can actually play, if Antonio Callaway stays healthy, stays clean off the field, now you're working with something. But I don't think there's this sudden, oh my God, what an increase in skill position players what Tyrod ever had in Buffalo. Maybe last year, but certainly not in 15 and 16.
Right. All right, enough about the Browns. The Bills. The quarterback rotation tonight, I'm assuming we still don't know. We found out last week before the Carolina game, I don't know, less than an hour it felt like before kickoff, what was actually going to happen, and we found out Peterman was the starter. So what is your best guess? If I'm right to say that we still don't know, I'm assuming you don't know what's happening there. What do you think is likely to happen? Do you think we get McCarron to start this game tonight?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident it's going to be A.J. McCarron. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty confident just by watching you know, what's been happening at practice and knowing about the philosophy of what they're trying to do here. Now, look, I thought it would be McCarron last week. It was Peterman, but I think that's part of the reason why I think it's going to be McCarron this week, that it was Peterman last week. I can't believe Sean McDermott can go in front of this team, in front of the media, and say we're giving a fair fight here and not give A.J. McCarron the start tonight. I just can't believe that, right? Unless it's Josh Allen, which leads us to he has not worked with the first team all week, or really for a couple of weeks. He's been with the twos all week, though, which tells me tonight it should be McCarron, Allen, Peterman. I'd be surprised if it was any other rotation.
Right. So Allen with the twos. Do you think that despite what you just said about Allen not working with the ones at all this week, that you could see Allen at the tail end of the first string offense, like just take McCarron out, assuming he starts, and have Allen get, I don't know, a series or two with the number ones?
I think it's possible. I think you could also have some mixing in there, depending on what they want to see, because who are the ones at wide receiver, right? I mean, we could term that any way we want. I think that that's part of it. If, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, he had a little bit of a maybe an injury issue this week. You know, he looked like he was a little bit sore with his knee, had an ice pack on. So how much does he play? Who do you put on the field? Is that a one or a two? You know, so I think how you massage that. What are we talking about with Garoy and Bodine? Who's one? Who's two? So I think you could massage it that way. LeSean McCoy, I think he's going to play in this game, but how much he plays, you know, so I think a lot of that can be kind of, yeah, you could see him out there with some guys who play with the ones. It doesn't mean he's with the necessarily the starting offense. The other thing I'll tell you is it might depend on how long each series goes for each guy. I mean, if McCarron goes three and out three times, does that make his night shorter, or does he keep him in longer? Does that bring the offensive unit out but keeps McCarron in longer? I think a lot of those things can be worked through tonight too.
Yep. Sal Capaccio is joining us from Cleveland on Countdown to Kickoff. We're getting you ready for the Bills and the Browns tonight. Kickoff right around 7:30. What is at stake for Allen? Sal, do you think if he were to play well in this spot with the second unit offense, that could lead to his getting a crack with the ones not only in practice next week, but against the Bengals a week from Sunday?
I do, and I've kept this notion all week, as you know, that I'm going to leave it open the possibility that he plays with the ones next week because he's worked with the threes, then the twos, and it might make sense to give him time with the ones simply because, again, Sean McDermott wants to make it a fair fight, and if he's saying all three are involved, then wouldn't you kind of give all three a chance at least to play with the starters? If he didn't get any time with the starters last week, I'd almost think that means that they have no plans of even considering him being the starting quarterback. So I do think that that's possible. The only way I think it wouldn't be possible to me would be if he came out here and he stunk up with the twos.
Right.
And then they said, you know what, we're not going to do that to him. We're not going to put him in against Cincinnati's starting defense for a half or whatever and have him, you know, look that like that. It's a national TV game, too, by the way. We're not going to do that. You know, not that they would care necessarily about the bright lights, but I just think there's an element of we got to be careful here how we're bringing him along. We know what the other two can do, so let's now kind of eliminate him from the competition, put the other two in there, and we'll see. So I am keeping that possibility open. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. We may see him again next week with the twos or the threes, but I think it's possible that it's sometime here before preseason game number four that Josh Allen does get time with the starters.
I think that makes tonight really, I don't know, I don't want to overstate it. It's at least interesting. It might even be important, Sal.
Because he could force their hand, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, to
right.
make them play next week. I agree, Bulldog.
Exactly.
I think that's why it's interesting tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is, I don't know what Bills fan wouldn't want to see that. And again, that makes this very much unlike, to me, your run-of-the-mill preseason game. because of what's happening at that position and what they've already got invested in Allen. And who wouldn't love to see him force their hand? I mean, I certainly would. I'd love to see them have to make a decision on that. Nothing against McCarron or Peterman, but we all know Allen is the future, and at some point they're going to turn to him. And if he can make them want to turn to him sooner rather than later, I think that's all for the better. How do you think Corey Coleman will be used tonight, Sal? He did not play last week against Carolina due to how late he was acquired and the game being on a Thursday. What should we look for from him? What kind of player are we talking about in Corey Coleman?
Well, let's start with the type of player. I mean, Corey Coleman brings an element to this offense that they just don't have. He is a 4-4 or sub 4-4 40-yard dash guy, and they just don't have that guy on this team. They have other guys who can run, but they can't fly by a defense. Corey Coleman can fly by a defense. He gives them the element of the threat of having that happen, which forces a defense to back off a little bit at the line of scrimmage and maybe give a little bit of room to LeSean McCoy. He is important in that regard. However, he will not see the field if he is not able to grasp the playbook, understand the offense, consistently catch the ball, and run good routes. And it's not just about running downfield. Yeah, he's fast, but you have to be able to run routes, and you have to be able to run hooks and curls and corners and outs and things like that. And if you can't do that, Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll aren't going to put him on the field. And then, what do you have in the guy? You have basically a guy that you traded away pretty much nothing for that maybe you can just put on the field once in a while to present a deep ball speculation. But other teams know that he's really not a, all-around type of wide receiver. As far as tonight, he is going to play. We know that. I don't exactly know how much he's going to play. Maybe that depends on how well he does acclimate himself to the offense, shows how much he has. But I just get this sense, after listening to Sean McDermott this week, I just get this sense that they want to see if he's grasping the playbook enough, and maybe they're wondering if he has.
But the way it's portrayed in Hard Knocks, for whatever this is worth, although some of that is supported by what people said around the Browns when the trade was made, that we've got a guy with more troubles maybe between the years than athletically. Like that he just isn't, whether it's he's not focused enough, whether he's not someone who dives deep into the playbook, attention to detail, whatever it is. Those are all things that I think would drive Sean McDermott crazy. So if those tendencies show themselves, I wouldn't think this guy is going to be long for any kind of a prominent role here. But if he's learned from what he went through in Cleveland and maybe has been, to an extent, humbled by being traded for a seventh-round pick in 2020, then maybe there's a renewed sense of attention to detail for this guy, and the Bills can be the beneficiaries of that.
And look, I mean, we all know that sometimes guys do benefit from a change of scenery. You just need that. You need different people in your life surrounding you. You need different leadership around you. And if there's one thing that's kind of been unique about this year, Bulldog, it has opened a lot of people's eyes to the way the Cleveland Browns organization has been run, and it's not very favorable, especially in my eyes. Watching Hard Knocks, I think that maybe there's a lack of leadership going on with Hugh Jackson and the way he's running this team, and maybe guys like Corey Coleman, who've had things handed to him pretty much their whole life, still had it handed to him here in Cleveland, still wasn't being asked to do it, a certain way, and the right way, and the hard way all the time, and maybe that's what he needs in Buffalo, because I'm watching Hard Knocks, and I'm thinking, if I'm Corey Coleman or somebody, maybe subconsciously, you're not even trying to be like this, but you're kind of having the easy way out too often. And maybe that's why he needed a change of scenery to be a better football player.
Sal, I'm thinking about the person who's listening right now who doesn't listen every day, isn't like taking notes, isn't going out to St. John Fisher and watching practice. What are some other interesting facets of this game? Some other interesting battles. Tight end has been, I think, interesting, and maybe some folks who are just dipping in because it's a game day don't know yet about what's happening to the depth chart at tight end. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, right now Charles Clay is the number one tight end, but behind him, I'll maintain that I think Jason Kroom is the number two tight end on this team right now. If you don't know who Jason Kroom is, when he was in college at Tennessee, he was a wide receiver, and then he was converted to tight end for his last 2 years there. He came into the league an undrafted free agent, I think with the Bills, might have been before that, but either way, he didn't really have any time with a regular squad, and then He was cut. He was on the Bills. He was cut. And then they signed him to the practice squad in November of last year. He stayed on the roster on the practice squad. They re-signed him to a futures contract and brought him back to camp because they liked his skill set. And I think he has been the most impressive player in this training camp for me. If I had to give a training camp most impressive, I would give it to Jason Kroom. I think he's really stepped up. He creates matchups. And I really think part of it is Brian Daboll's offense and what he's trying to do there. I also think Logan Thomas is in this boat because every time I look up, one of those guys seems to be on the field, even with Charles Clay. They're creating matchups. They're bigger bodies. They're trying to do that. That might spell danger for Nick O'Leary. Nick O'Leary is not the fastest. He's not the greatest blocker. He does a lot of good things, a lot of things really well. He does nothing that really kind of creates a mismatch for you. And that's really what Daboll's offense is about. So I wonder if Nick O'Leary is a guy that, you know, really has to be worried about his spot and step up and do some things. We'll see where that goes. So I do think that right now, Jason Kroom looks like the number two tight end. Wide receiver obviously is a big one. Look, Brandon Riley has a rib injury. He's probably not going to play tonight. He hasn't practiced. He got hurt last week. He hasn't practiced all week. This is a guy that, you know, they really liked last year. He showed out in the preseason, led the team in receptions and receiving yards. A lot of people thought, including me, he should have been kept. He wasn't. I like Brandon Riley a lot. I just don't know if he really fits on this team anywhere right now. We could be looking at another type of practice squad situation for him. But where are we going with wide receiver, especially with Corey Coleman? I'm thinking he's going to make the team, right? Zay Jones is a very, very interesting storyline here tonight. I think Zay Jones is a guy that has surprised me how quickly he's acclimated both physically and mentally, and for him to be on the field tonight and see what he can do. And then lastly, I'll keep it on the offensive side. This is a big night for the number three running back, Bulldog. After the week that Marcus Murphy had last week, he has an opportunity, I think, to surpass, if he hasn't already, Travaris Cadet. But they want to see, the coaching staff wants to see him back it up. They want to see him do it 2 weeks in a row, not just have 1 week and then, you know, kind of settle back in. They want to see him do it 2 weeks in a row, maintain that energy, maintain what he was showing. If he can, we might be looking at Marcus Murphy as the number three running back over Travaris Cadet.
Sal, if I may go back to Kroom, how explosive a player is this? Is this someone who can stretch defenses and challenge linebackers or safeties down the hash, down the field? Like, what sort of athlete are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he is a wide receiver in a tight end's body, or a tight end in a wide receiver's body, however you want to look at it. He's a little bit, he's taller, he's longer. He's not a great blocker. He's not going to be on the field. He has been an inline tight end at practice, but, you know, you're not putting him out there third and two to go, you know, down block the defensive tackle and drive him down, you know, down the line of scrimmage. So, he's got to be put in certain situations I think they can take advantage of, but I think that's why Brian Daboll likes him, because I'm not going to call him explosive. I wouldn't call him that, Bulldog, but he certainly has traits that allows him to create mismatches against either smaller DBs or slower linebackers, because he does have that wide receiver in him where he has the speed and he has the length, obviously, as a tight end.
All right, Sal, take a break. We'll get you back on in the 5 o'clock hour. And want to remind everyone, especially you fantasy players out there, to be sure to tune in next hour at around 5:20 for our fantasy segment with Sal, which is brought to you by Geico. Geico may not date back to the caveman, but they have been providing great savings and service on car insurance for over 75 years, saving you money is in Geico's playbook. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com and see how much you could save. Geico, so easy a caveman can do it. Talk to you in a little while, Sal.
Okay, thanks, Bulldog.
That is Sal Capaccio live from Cleveland. We continue along here on Countdown to Kickoff. Phone lines open again at 803-0550, 1-888-550. 2550, you want to react to anything we've been talking about in the last 20 minutes with Sal, the tight end depth chart, this Jason Kroom development as looking like the number two tight end, I think is pretty interesting. Tyrod Taylor, Josh Allen, the quarterback rotation, all of it up for discussion. Again, lines are open, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I am the Bulldog, and this is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Game day for the Buffalo Bills against the Cleveland Browns tonight. There is no word on what the quarterback rotation will be for the Bills heading into tonight's game between A.J. McCarron, Nathan Peterman, and Josh Allen. The rotation will likely be announced closer to game time. Peterman got the start last week for the Bills against Carolina. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage of Bills and Browns leading up to the 7:30 kickoff tonight with John Murphy, Mark Helso, and Sal Capaccio on the call right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Around the NFL for the preseason games on the docket tonight. Starting at 7 o'clock, the Falcons hosting the Chiefs. and the Giants taking on the Lions. Giants running back Saquon Barkley likely will not play due to a hamstring strain. Miami visiting Carolina, that game starting at 7:30. Arizona taking on New Orleans at 8 o'clock. Free agent wide receiver Dez Bryant left Cleveland without a contract, though the two sides are keeping talks open, according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. Plenty of injury news around the league. A lot of injuries coming from last night. The Patriots losing first-round offensive lineman Isaiah Wynn for the season due to a torn Achilles last night. They also had running backs Rex Burkhead dealing with a slight tear in his knee, though that injury is not believed to be that serious. 49ers running back Jerick McKinnon will miss the rest of the preseason due to a calf injury. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, he suffered a shoulder injury last night. Packers running back Jamal Williams suffered a sprained ankle in last night's game, while Redskins running back Samaje Perine is expected to miss at least a week with an ankle injury of his own. Washington already lost running back Darius Geis for the year due to injury, and Byron Marshall also dealing with an ankle injury as well. Seahawks running back Rashad Penny has returned to practice for Seattle. He was dealing with a broken finger, while Seattle wide receiver Doug Baldwin remains on track to start week one in the regular season. This update is brought to you by Fiegel and Carr. Starting December 18th, if you have a DWI, you will be barred from Canada. Contact Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys. I'm Derek Kramer. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
I mean, you just got to trust the process. You know, Coach always preaches that. You know, I'm just trying to learn, trying to get better every day, learning from Nate and AJ, learning from Coach Dabes. You know, at the end of the day, that's all it's about. You know, I'm trying to become the best quarterback that I can be, and, you know, it's going to take time.
That is Bills quarterback Josh Allen speaking shortly after training camp at St. John Fisher closed up. It was after the final practice of training camp. Josh Allen there talking about trusting the process. The head coach has got to love that. Here on Countdown to Kickoff, I am the Bulldog. Thank you for tuning in here. We're getting you ready for tonight's game between the Bills and the Browns in Cleveland, Ohio. We're just around 3 hours away from kickoff tonight. John Murphy, Mark Kelso, Sal Capaccio will have all the action here along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm going to check the weather in Cleveland. The forecast is improving. We've been on the air here for about an hour and a half with Countdown to Kickoff, and at first check, the weather looked pretty dicey going into game time and throughout the window that the game would be played in, but the chances of rain have been decreased according to the forecast. It's currently partly sunny and 76 degrees in Cleveland, and there's still a slight chance of rain around 8 o'clock, says my weather app. 35% chance of thunderstorms in the 8 o'clock hour now. Really, when we first looked at this forecast, starting at around 7 o'clock right on through into midnight, there was a higher than that chance of thunderstorms. Now, only at 8 o'clock, then even after that. So maybe just a chance of a passing thunderstorm, but doesn't look like it'll be too bad. And we'll see. Maybe that will even improve as the hours go by. Again, we're a little less than 3 hours away from kickoff in this game. Are you grilling? Oh, excuse me. Weather, by the way, is brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. If you're grilling or having a summer party, I'm having a summer party, but I'm not grilling. But if I were, I'd want to check this out. You should taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. You can make your party sizzle with fresh-cut New York strip steaks, just $7.99 each, and Federal's freshly made grill-ready kebabs, beef, or chicken with veggies. You can also save $3 off a bag of Salem's hot dogs and $2 off 31 to 40 count extra-large shrimp. Game day and every day, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. I am the Bulldog. Bills and Browns coming up tonight. And as we've been talking about since we started on the air today and really for the last couple of days, no shortage of storylines in this game tonight with Tyrod Taylor, the Bills starting quarterback for the previous three seasons, playing against his former team. Yes, I know, it's just a preseason game. It doesn't really count. But Taylor even admitted this week that he would like to play well and make the Bills regret that they decided to move on from him, that he's motivated by the fact that they decided to move on from him. And I totally get that. I didn't take any animosity from those comments from Taylor. I don't think he really should have any. I mean, the Bills didn't fail to give him an opportunity to establish himself as a starting quarterback in the league, something he is going to be doing again this year, and he's going to be paid handsomely for that. So the opportunity that was provided here in Buffalo has done well for Taylor. Now, you know, he did have a big contract that this regime, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, decided to pass on. So, you know, maybe he feels somewhat scorned by that, but I think he's done all right for himself, considering, you know, who he was and what he was on the NFL landscape when he arrived here in Buffalo to where he is now. I mean, he's being paid $19 million to play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this year. Sure, you'd like to have the long-term security of a big contract and all that. I mean, who wouldn't? But from where he was 4 years ago to now, boy, Taylor, it's got to be a very different life. And so good for him. He earned that. And I have no reason to, like, fear what he's going to be or become now that he's left the Bills. You know, and in part, it's because I feel pretty comfortable with the decision that the Bills made. It's a decision that I supported. I did not think that Taylor's ceiling was really any higher than what he showed it to be during his time as the Bills quarterback. He was pretty good. He had some good results. He helped the Bills end a 17-year playoff drought. These are things that I don't think should be taken lightly, and I don't take them lightly, but nor do I think they should guarantee future employment at the most important position in the sport. I support the Bills wanting to be better at the position. I don't know that they will be in the very short term, and that is something that I think is going to be interesting here, but I am going to work myself hard to not overreact to that in the short term. I thought all along, even as last year was unfolding for us, and it seemed likely, especially by the time when Week 10 rolled around and the Bills benched Taylor for Nathan Peterman, despite having a 5-4 record and being in a playoff spot, that they were going to probably move on from him, and that in all likelihood, that could mean that they would be, for the short term, for 2018, even not as good as Tyrod Taylor provided them at quarterback. That doesn't have to end up being the case. The offensive coordinator and the scheme could play a role in how that unfolds, as could the aptitude, the competence of Josh Allen or McCarron or Nathan Peterman. But I think Taylor was a certain level of good that is not to be taken for granted, and therefore I do not take for granted that whoever plays quarterback for the Bills will instantly be better. The hope is that eventually Josh Allen will be better than that. That's why you move up in the draft from 21 and 22 to 12 and then eventually to 7. And so you pay a fairly steep price to draft Josh Allen, and you do that with a mind towards him eventually being better than Tyrod Taylor was capable of being for you. I don't think you should overreact to that not happening right away. I'm sort of, you should be bracing, I think, for it to not happen right away, and I'm expecting it not to happen right away. I mean, we'll see how soon Allen even plays at all. But in the short term here, whoever plays quarterback for the Bills, I'm bracing for it to not even be as good as Taylor was the last 3 years. And that might be a letdown for some fans who are hoping to be better than Taylor because he frustrated them so much. And maybe some fans overlooked the good things that he did. It was always a close one with Taylor to me. Like, it was not like many other quarterbacks, whether they were here for many years, like, say, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or less time, like, say, Trent Edwards, you always knew, like, boy, the time is up. I'm done. Get get this guy out of here. I can't watch this anymore. Taylor never really reached that level of despair for me. I just sort of matter-of-factly looked at the team and went, I think I need to be better than that. It wasn't endlessly frustrating. The fact that they made the playoffs, I think, is a buffer against that. And then, you know, as always was the case with Taylor, you've got the pros and the cons. The pros are he helped you make the playoffs. The con is you scored 3 points in a playoff game, right? Like these are the things that you're always wrestling with when Tyrod Taylor was your quarterback. Now he's the Browns quarterback and will play against the Bills tonight. Countdown to kickoff is going to continue. We'll get Sal Capaccio back in at the top of the hour again, and then the roundtable coming up at 6 with Mark Kelso, Chris Brown, and Sal Capaccio. All of that is ahead. You have anything to add to the conversation we've been having all afternoon here on Countdown to Kickoff? Phone lines remain open for you at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Feel free to join me. I am the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
In my opinion, it's a little bit that he has something to prove, but also a young man that's maturing, you hope, in terms of his approach. And not that he wasn't mature last year in his approach, but sometimes you see, you know, as we've all been around a team and watched these guys grow and develop and mature, that they're growing up in front of our eyes. In Zay's case, I would say that I have noticed a little bit of a more serious demeanor. Not that he wasn't before, but he seems focused, which I appreciate.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about Zay Jones, the Bills' second-year wide receiver who, I don't know, one of the stories of training camp this week. He had a good week. He was back practicing in full for the first time, and most observers, Sal Capaccio included, mentioned that Jones, especially the first day that he was allowed to practice with the team fully, he was noticeable. He was going up to make plays. He caught everything that was thrown his way. He even got in somewhat of a fight with Micah Hyde after they were competing during some team drills. And you know, Zay Jones is someone who was viewed with, and rightly so, a great deal of skepticism moving through the offseason and into the summer because of, well, for starters, he had a very rocky rookie season, had trouble with drops, had trouble staying healthy. He ultimately was injured and suffered then a knee injury, like a new injury that he had surgery on in the spring, so he missed all the spring work. And only just recently got back to practice. And then there was a bizarre episode involving his brother in a Los Angeles high-rise building that was videotaped. And Jones was in a great deal of distress. I don't know that we ever heard definitively what exactly was going on there, but it was kind of scary, frankly, not to be dramatic. He was certainly under the influence, it appeared, of something, or at least was just really emotionally in a very bad way. And so, you know, you would have been right to wonder, like, what have I got here? Like, is this guy okay? Mentally, is he okay? Can I count on him? Physically, is he healthy? Since being back in camp, as Sean McDermott indicated there, most, again, observers, including our Sal Capaccio, are telling you they sense a different, more focused, more serious player in Zay Jones. So he's a piece of the puzzle there at wide receiver. And if he, along, I guess, ideally with Corey Coleman, can provide the Bills with something that we didn't think they had a few weeks ago, which is, you know, decent depth at that position, starting caliber players, that would be a very pleasant surprise. A big storyline for this team all through the offseason was, what am I doing at wide receiver? And beyond Kelvin Benjamin, like, what have I got here that's really proven? And so the Bills, in advance of Jones getting cleared to come back and practice fully, make the move for Coleman. And, you know, there's certainly no guarantee that he's going to contribute in a significant way, given the checkered 2 years he's had with Cleveland. They seemed quite eager to part with him, so much so that they dumped him for a seventh-round pick in 2020. That is not the kind of price that indicates that they held a great deal of value in Corey Coleman. But he is a pedigreed athlete. He was a high, a mid-first-round pick at receiver who's had some trouble with luck, really, with injuries, staying healthy, broke his hand a couple times, is what's cost him most of his time away from playing games with the Browns. There's been some attitude questions, too, so we'll see if the Bills can get Corey Coleman right. But between Jones and Coleman, but if they were to win the lottery on both of those roles, not that Jones is much of a roll of the dice, he was already on their team, but if he showed up ready to be a capable number two wideout to Kelvin Benjamin, and Corey Coleman gave the Bills what they've been lacking, which is someone who can stretch the defense and get behind defensive backs and make safeties respect the speed on the field, that would be a vastly different-looking receiver group than it was even, I'd say, a couple of weeks ago. Well, you know that for every field goal scored by the Buffalo Bills this season, Liberty Cab will make a donation to the Family Justice Center. Since 2006, the Family Justice Center has been providing a safe place for the victims and children of domestic violence, holding offenders accountable with the goal of giving victims options to take back control of their lives. Visit fjcsafe.org and share our goal to protect our community from domestic violence. Liberty Cab, passionate about protecting our community. We've got 2.5 hours before kickoff between the Bills and the Browns. We've got Sal Capaccio on the way coming up after the top of the hour break again, and want to make sure we tell you to hang around for the roundtable. It's always a highlight for me. It's only one of a couple of times during the summer that I get to talk with Chris Brown and Mark Kelso, and that is going to be coming your way between 6 and 7, and there is no shortage of topics to talk about with those guys. Obviously, what the quarterback rotation is going to be tonight, we'll find out officially, I would think, at some point during the roundtable, if not sooner. The order the quarterbacks are expected to go in, who's going to start. We do think we've got A.J. McCarron starting. That makes sense anyway. And Sal Capaccio's been expecting, given how he worked this week, that Josh Allen would see time with the second unit. We'll find out as we get closer. Stay tuned. Sal Capaccio on the way after this. I am the Bulldog. This is Countdown to Kickoff on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.